The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. And of course, we will discuss the games that happen on the field. But we have to start with the fact that those games were played and will continue to be played by athletes with heavy hearts based on the announcement that none of the officers involved in the death of Breonna Taylor were charged with the death of Breonna Taylor. Instead, one officer was charged with wanton endangerment because of some of the shots that he fired in the incident. Jalen, you've had some time to think about this. You've slept on it. How have these events affected you, and how do you think they will affect the world of sports?
This is the first time I've talked about this topic. I haven't sent any texts about it. Haven't sent any emails about it. And that's one of the things I enjoy about having the opportunity to do this show is it's therapeutic and it's honest. And you can see how much I embody my culture by the pictures that are behind me as we've been doing this show for 10 years. I upset. So Jacoby, how about this? I represent this fist on my chest today as a symbol of Black unity, pain, suffering, endurance, and our ability to overcome. There's so many times that we've chanted, "We shall overcome," or said power to the people, or Black is beautiful, or that Black lives matter. And it continues to get highlighted when situations like Breonna Taylor take place. So it took 194 days for Daniel Cameron, the attorney general in Louisville, Kentucky, and the jury to come with the ruling. If you don't know the case, there was a no-knock warrant with three officers who barged into a home in the middle of a night, shot and killed Breonna Taylor at 26 years old six times while she was sleeping. The people that they were trying to execute the no-knock warrant for were caught on the other side of town that same night. They ain't find no drugs. They didn't find nothing illegal, nothing. They took her life in cold blood, and none of the officers were charged with her murder. And then you slap us in the face by charging the one cop who shot a hole in the wall. That's why we say Black Lives Matter, Jacoby. I watch the news. I read the paper. I know who Kyle Rittenhouse is. I know he went across county lines with an illegal weapon and shot and killed two protesters. Our government said, well, he's just a 17-year-old, and, you know, we make those mistakes when we were young. And so now you try to make the people that protest, you stigmatize them. Mob, anarchists, thugs. The power of protest in this Black fist is why we've gotten towards the progress that we have in this country. Whether it's an eye for an eye, whether it's I have a dream, whether it's John Lewis getting in good trouble, that power of protest to use our voice silently, that power to use our voice with strength is why we got the progress that we have. If we never say anything, nothing happens. This is the perfect example of that. And so NBA players are now charged in a bubble to go out and play a basketball game. And as Black people, we're still charged, and rightfully so, to act like it never happened. Just act like it never happened. And so I'm disgusted of how we continue to be dismissed. Now, if you wanted to talk about curing cancer or saving animals, I'm all for people that want to do that. I am too. But when it comes to Black people, give us that same energy. I don't see it. No knock warrants should be illegal. And lastly, how many of these cases of unarmed black men and or women do the police lie on the police report? They lied on this police report. You should automatically be arrested for lying on a police report as a public service official. And so I'm just disappointed by the entire judicial system and the processing of policing in our country. And it continues to frustrate and disappoint me.
Jalen, you make some really good points. And when I saw Daniel Cameron announce that there would only be charges for wanton endangerment from Officer Hankinson, I was disgusted just like you. And I was also not surprised. So what I decided to do was really research the events and what happened. How could an investigation that took 195 days end with just this charge? And while we will never truly know what happened in that apartment that evening, because there's different versions of the events, a version of the events in which these charges are not warranted and the activity of the police was not criminal, aside from Officer Hankinson, is the version of events in which they announced themselves again, they opened up the door, they were fired upon by Kenneth Walker, who was Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, and they defended themselves.
That's one version of events. You do a no-knock warrant in the middle of the night in an open carry state.
There's another version of the events.
Your ground laws. What do you expect somebody to do when you come kicking down their door? They're going to blast back.
There's another version of the events in which they should have never had a no-knock warrant, and the no-knock warrant was issued with some falsified information. They did not announce themselves, as 11 neighbors said that they did not. They broke down the door, and Kenneth Walker had a legal firearm and legally defended himself, and then the police actually did act criminally in all of that and murdered Breonna Taylor. Now, those are two different versions of the events we will never understand, but you brought up a really good point. What I have in my hand right now is the incident report from that evening from the Louisville Police Department. And on this incident report, it says, forced entry. They checked a box that says no. There was clearly forced entry. I saw the picture of the breaking down of the door. It also says, individual victims, individual, Breonna Taylor, injuries, none. Injuries, none.
That
forced
hurts.
Entry,
that hurts.
No.
That hurt.
And there's also other documents that I've reviewed that, as you mentioned, Jamarcus Glover, who was the target of the investigation, was across town. There was a document that said that he was apprehended and investigated around midnight. And Breonna Taylor's, in the entry in Breonna Taylor's apartment was 45 minutes later. They actually changed the numbers on that document to make the times simultaneously to make the Louisville Police Department look better. So whether or not you agree about the death of Breonna Taylor and the action of those officers was criminal, you cannot disagree that this, the falsifying of these documents and the cover-up and the corruption, that is criminal. That's objectively criminal when you review these documents. And I'm so disgusted by this that it really makes me think, how do we move forward with this justice system? And I really hope that this ongoing FBI investigation uncovers all of this, which we see as plain as day on these documents. Jalen, your thoughts.
It truly baffles me that there are individuals walking the face of the earth that would victim blame when they see George Floyd be murdered while handcuffed by law officials and talk about his past. Or the same with Breonna Taylor. That continues to show us that people still don't feel like our lives matter. Say that they found what they were looking for. That still's not a reason to kill her. Whatever you was looking for George Floyd, there's still no reason to murder Tamir Rice. Like these circumstances continue to happen, Jacoby. And how about we address police lying on the report? Have we heard anybody say something about that? And also, how disgusting is it as a human being, Daniel Cameron gets up on a stage and you don't even say Breonna Taylor's name one time. He didn't say her name once.
And when we turn our attention to the NBA, you think about after the death of Jacob Blake and how the Bucks sort of started this chain reaction that led to games being canceled for days. And you think about watching the games last night and just how difficult it must be for these men, mainly black men, to put their sneakers on, and try to win a basketball game inside of a bubble in Orlando, Florida, when they know that all of this is happening outside of that bubble? Now, I know you're not there, but you did play in the NBA, and you have an understanding of the mindset. What do you think the mindset of these players is right now, and what kind of conversations are being had when no microphones or cameras are around between them?
Field position. I'm going to keep putting it out there, Jacoby. Field position. We're not going to win this sporting event. It's a football game. We start, we look up at the scores, 400 years of slavery to zero. We're not going to win this game. So as black people, Jacoby, we've been conditioned, regardless to the oppression, the civil injustices, the social injustices, the inequalities that we have to deal with. We're taught that we got to work two times as hard to get half as much. We're taught that we're an endangered species from the womb. This is what we're taught, Jacoby. So you unfortunately are forced to put on blinders like you don't have a head, like you don't have a heart, and show up at your job like everything is okay. And that's what these basketball players have to do and exert energy to play in the game that they love on the biggest stage. You can't tell me that Jason Tatum wasn't affected by the news. I know he was affected. You don't have 0 points and then 28 points in the second half. It just don't happen. It don't happen. Usually when somebody have zero in the first half, they probably have 12 in the second half. Maybe if they get hot, 20, not 28. Like, all of those guys are hurting in their heads and in their hearts. It's heavy. It's heavy. It's a kick in the butt. It's a stab in the back as tax-paying citizens that we pay the salaries of law-abiding, of law enforcement. And we still continue to see these circumstances take place. That's why it's very important. It's extremely important to vote. You don't have to wait to November 3rd. You can vote right now. Do not wait. Make sure you vote.
Now, Jalen, obviously we are going to discuss the game last night in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I really encourage everyone to understand how body cams were or weren't used in this, how a no-knock warrant was issued by Judge Mary M. Shaw, and how the battering ram was used and how the handguns were used. Because while we cannot bring back the life of Breonna Taylor, we can reform the way that all of this was used and will continue to be used by police moving forward. We will move forward and discuss.
What about the line on the police report? They lie. Right, all of these situations, they lie on the police report. That should be a crime in itself. What about the other officers? I just don't understand how you can lie on a police report.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Taco Bell. Order ahead and pick up your favorites at our contactless drive-thru.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. For more discussion from me and Jalen about the Breonna Taylor announcement from yesterday and the implications, make sure you listen to our podcast where we always have exclusive content. Right now, we turn our attention to last night's game in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Jalen, it was all about Tyler Hero. Rookie off the bench in the Eastern Conference Finals puts up 37 points. It is not just what you do, it's how you do it. Jalen, you're going to love this. 5 buckets in the paint, 4 buckets from mid-range, 5 3-point shots, and assist. He was all over the place. Jalen, what did you see from this rookie?
I saw a level of fearlessness that the Miami Heat have been nurturing all season, as we talked about their player development since he got picked. And of course, you get on the big stage and you have a performance like this and people start to pay attention. But I like what they do for him defensively, and that's put him at the back of the zone along with Gordon Dragic and or Duncan Robinson, so that you protect them defensively. But at the top of the zone, you have Jimmy Butler and or Crowder to take the Boston Celtics out of the middle of the floor. And it's been working like a gem, in particular to bottle up Kemba Walker, force the Boston Celtics into more isolation situations, and keep them from attacking the basket consistently. The zone that starts sometimes as a 2-2-1 full court that falls back into a 2-3 with Bam in the middle has been extremely effective in this series.
It has been so effective in this series. And you make a good point that not only does it stifle the Celtics offense, what it does is kind of hide some of the players on the Heat that aren't necessarily strong defenders. Now, I was watching this performance from Tyler Hero, and I was just so taken aback. 20 years old. Only Magic Johnson has scored more in a playoff game at that age. And it was in the post-game interview when I looked at his face, and it really physically manifested for me just how young this man is. Look at his facial hair or lack thereof. He doesn't even have a goatee. Look at that scraggly little hairs down there. Like he's not connect a beard. He can't even grow a proper goatee. And he just put up 37 points in the Eastern Conference Finals for the Miami Heat. Man, I love this Heat team so much.
You know what else
much.
I see progress, and I see inclusion. And I see hope when I see that young 20-year-old face. You know why? Because the back of his shirt said Black Lives Matter. And not many white athletes would be doing that decades ago in this country. And so now that the NBA players are in a position to work with the NBA to now have that be a theme, I look forward to decades in the future when it's not just black and brown people protesting for equality, but it's a melting pot of people. And this is the kind of thing that encourages me when I see a young man like this understand the magnitude of what he's wearing on the back of his jersey.
And you made a really good point when I asked you about the effect on these athletes and their mindset and performance in relation to the announcement that none of the officers will be charged with the death, frankly, a murder of Breonna Taylor. Now, Jalen, one of the ways that you brought up last segment that manifested itself was in the performance of Jason Tatum. 0 points in the first half, 28 points in the second. Now, how much do you think that is basketball defense strategy, and how much do you think that is the impact of what's going on outside the bubble on players in the bubble?
Dog, I've been watching him extremely close, not only from Duke, but once he got drafted and since he's been playing with the Celtics, and continue to watch him ascend to an all-star player and an all-NBA player. In the first half, dog, he was sluggish. He wasn't as decisive as he normally is. And he's not going to make an excuse for himself. But I saw a player that had some things on his mind. Trust me, I've played a lot of games where things that were bothering me off the floor were in my brain that you try to get out of it as you go perform to do your job. And that was the switch I saw him hit in the second half. I just believe it was too late.
It's a good point. Now, you know I love this Heat team so much. I picked them to beat the Bucks, and they did it. And now they're on the doorstep of going to the NBA Finals in the bubble. But I saw something at the end of the game that was very concerning for the future of this Miami Heat team, and you're about to see it yourself right here. As the game was being contested at the very end of the game, one of the key pieces for what they do on both ends of the floor, Bam Adebayo, seemed to really hurt himself, and you'll see it on this play. Yeah. It almost looked like he punched himself, but he's grabbing his elbow, but it seemed like he was grabbing his hand for the rest of the game. He stayed in the game, which is very concerning. But, Jalen, do you think this will affect him in the rest of this series and potentially the NBA Finals?
I've had a broken hand. It now has a plate and 5 screws in it. I've had a fractured wrist. And the way I saw him running up and down the court, favoring it, I was like, he may have a fractured wrist. But then when he came back into the game, I was like, he good. So I believe that this is something that he's going to be able to play through. He's been outstanding as we anticipated in this series. The Celtics have no answer for him physically up front. He's been dominant, grabbing boards and game-winning blocks. And so obviously without him in the lineup, the Miami Heat don't win this series. But I believe he's going to be healthy, and I believe he's going to continue to be dominant.
It was right back when he came into the game. As he often does, he caught the ball right around the free throw line and made a great two-handed pass to the corner for a shot. And that's when I was like, all right, he can pass the ball with some zip with two hands. I think he's going to be okay. But you talked about the block that he made. You talk about the rebounds that he gets and the points that he gets. But one thing about Bam Adebayo that he does for this team, which frees up Tyler Hero, frees up Duncan Robinson if he will ever hit a shot, frees up Goran Dragic and Jimmy Butler, is the screens that he sets. Those, when all the cuts that they make, when they run around screens and all of that, it's just, he's such a great contributor. Now, Jalen, you know I love Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson so much. And I just want to play some sound. It just demonstrates one of the reasons I love Tyler Hero so much. Please run it.
Point at you. I can't swim, so I have no reason.
I can't swim either.
You can't swim?
Oh, you got hood tendencies, man.
You would run with us. Give me some.
You got hood tendencies.
Tyler Hero got hood tendencies, and we got a preview of the huge Lakers-Nuggets game right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
It's a new day on ESPN Radio with new voices that have big things to say. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's how you build a winning culture.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz.
You are like the Einstein of life.
Reading.
How ridiculously good was that?
The Max Kellerman Show.
Why not get out in front of it?
And Janae Golic Jr.
I knew we were destined for greatness.
All day, every day.
Big names, new voices.
It is time to go to work.
Real talk. Weekdays on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and smart speakers everywhere.
Playoff action tonight in the WNBA. We have the Lynx against the Storm on ESPN at ESPN 2 at 7:30. And then in the nightcap, we have the Aces against the Sun. Make sure you tune into that on ESPN 2. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, last night we saw what can happen when a team goes from 2-1 to 3-1 up, as it did in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Lakers have an opportunity to do that this evening. The Nuggets have an opportunity to even the series at 2-2. What do you think the keys are to tonight's pivotal game four?
I need aggressive Anthony Davis. I know he shot over 50% from the floor. I know the Lakers dominated points in the paint. But when he's really collapsing the defense and being aggressive, the Lakers are making more than 6 3-point shots. He's getting more than 2 rebounds. And he's doing a better job against the Joker. And he's also helping limit Jerami Grant. These are all things that he's tasked to do on a nightly basis if they're going to win. I anticipate he's going to come back and play a lot better. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm picking the Nuggets in game four.
Oh, you have the Nuggets in game four.
Yes, I'm picking the Nuggets in game four. This is going to be a long series. Joker making shots off both feet. Up and under and like Kevin McHale, 35, 12, and 11 for the Joker in the win.
I have the Lakers. Tune in to Jalen Jacoby tomorrow at 2 o'clock to find out who's right. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is having podcast exclusive content just for our podcast listeners right now driving in their car, walking the streets with their headphones. We always, what's our top priority activity
give
that we want people to do?
People what they want.
By we like it when
985-80-JALEN. 985-80-JALEN. We love when you're at work and listen.
Work.
Those are
we want
best.
People to get paid. I want you to get paid to listen to our podcast.
Yes.
I don't know what you do, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a construction worker, whether you're, as long as you're not like a teacher or a bus driver or something where you can endanger people's lives. Whatever you do, if as long as you get paid to listen to the podcast, that is what we like the most. If you're working right now and listen to the podcast, give us a call at 985-80-JALEN. Tell us what you do and ask us a question. Jalen, I did a lot of research on the Breonna Taylor case today, and I'm sure we'll have other opportunities to discuss that. But I also did a lot of research on another topic that happened in the world of sports today. Gerald Miller, heavyweight boxer, was set to fight Anthony Joshua once upon a time when they found EPO, HGH, and another drug that's a performance-enhancing drug in his body that's like GW501560. And I can't believe I remember that. But guess what? He has another fight coming up at the MGM.
Uh-oh.
Gerald Miller. That was back in the day with the Anthony Joshua fight. He tested positive for all that. And this fight, he tested positive for GW501516. And he said that he should be able to fight because he's making the case that he used a sexual performance-enhancing drug called Black Ant that is distributed legally or illegally into this country, and that Black Ant actually has GW501516. I may or may not have researched the Black Ant pill, and they found that it has the same drug that is in Viagra in it, and they did not announce that, so the FDA says it's not a good thing to take. Jalen, Gerald Miller is saying that he used a sexual performance-enhancing drug and that he should be able to fight because he was not using an athletic performance-enhancing drug. What do you think about this case?
So I'm not here to be in anybody's bedroom or their sexual preferences or how they like to go about their business. But Never. Here's what I'll say to all of you youngsters that want to use these performance enhancers like Viagra and Black Ant. You hope to be in your 50s and 60s one day. Using those while you're in your teens and in your 20s, it's going to affect you when you get a lot older,
like this,
whether you realize it or not. It's really going to affect you. Trust me, it will affect you. As somebody that's been giving young people this advice for like 20-something years, I got case studies walking the face of this earth that need to go to physicians to get assistance because they've been taking things for a really long time. And now all of a sudden they're not able to have a level of performance that they desire. So I would just say to young people, just stay away from it. Be all natural. Here's the thing. Sometimes the performance is going to be outstanding, standing ovation. The crowd's going to go crazy. And sometimes you're going to get booed off stage. It happens to the best of them.
That's just life. It really does. That's just life.
It's just life. I
hit a home run every time he steps to the plate.
I know you have that macho man that you're really about to discover America, and then you realize that this ain't gonna last long, and sometimes it does something to your psyche. I get it. It does something to your psyche, but it's okay. Live to fight another day. Live to fight another day. Just rest and recover and fight another day. That's my advice.
I just love the idea. I love the idea that like every man is born with 100 sexual performance points and you want to distribute those out decades and decades and decades. Because if you burn too hot and fast with your sexual performance points, you'll find yourself later in life with nothing in the tank to go to. I like that concept, Jalen. And I also love the standing ovation. I love the standing ovation part more than anything. Just the visual of it all. As we said, you can call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. And if you do, we'll play it on the show just like this.
Hey, yo, what's up, Jalen Jacoby? It's C from Chicago. Just a little question for you guys. One time I loaned my cousin like some money, and now some unfortunate things happened to him, and I think they're hinting at me to loan him more money. But I really don't have the pockets like that. But I do love my cousin, but still, what should I do? Much love from Chicago.
Jalen, there is no one that knows more about loaning family members and friends money than Jalen Anthony Rose. Please take the floor.
Biggie once famously said, money and blood don't mix. If you heard the album, you know the rest of the song. It's a classic verse. And I was just driving in Detroit on the Lodge Freeway with my nephew, Troy. And I looked at a vehicle, Jacoby, and he had a sign with marker on it taped to the back window. And it says, ATM is closed. I took a picture of it. I was going to post it, but sometimes in my position, you know, when you give people a lot of money, I didn't want somebody in my circle to think I was talking about them. So I didn't post it, but I will share it at some point. Here's what I'll say about loaning friends and family money. There are people walking the face of the earth right now that assassinate my character, that insult my intelligence, and are ungrateful for the money that I've put in their pockets.
I'm one of them.
The times, and you're not one of these, that I help them pay their rent, that I've helped them get cars, that I've taken them on trips, bought lavish dinners, tickets to games, exposure to relationships that go beyond the floor. But as you start to ascend, Jacoby, sometimes certain people don't represent your best interest and you got to move away from them. Hashtag cut them off. And DMX once famously said, I have these songs playing on loop in my mind. Sometimes when I look down at my phone or I get confused, you know, he says, you do a grimy ninja like you do a grimy chick. You stop messing with them. Got no more rap. No more, yo, what's up, D? No more dap. So therefore, if there's somebody that I've spent my time and energy nurturing for years and investing my money in them, and I realize that they're ungrateful, I'm not going to send a mass email to everybody we know and tell them that I'm not rocking with that person anymore. I'm not going to tweet to the world that I'm not rocking with that person anymore. I just stopped doing it. And in a lot of those cases, those people still try to act like we 100 to get closer in other relationships. Now, why does that matter in this situation? Soon as you give friends and family money, it's a gift, not a loan. I hate to break it to you. It's a gift. It's not a loan. It is not a loan. You hope that they pay you back, but in their mind, I just need the money right now. We'll worry about that another time. Trust me. I didn't start getting money till I was 21. So the first 21 years of mine, I was broke, poor, and all of that. I know about loaning, loan sharking, food stamping. I know all of the tricks. Okay. When you give your family and friends money, remember, that's a gift, not a loan. Unless they hit the lottery or they go get like a crazy job where they just got money where, oh, dang, you just got a new crib. Oh, dang, you just got a new car. That kind of upgrade. Other than that, you ain't getting your bread back. So in order to maintain your relationship with your blood, don't loan them money. They're going to be mad at you anyway. They're going to be mad. Here's how it works, Jacoby. You get a cousin money once, they love you. You give them cousins money second, they love you. When they come back from the third time and you say no, slander you. You think you all that. You forgot where you came from. You ain't keeping it real. Like all of those stupid cliches that mean nothing. So that's my advice.
My advice for C is very similar. Is all right, so you loan your cousin some money and they didn't pay you back. Did they make an effort to pay you back? Did they mention that they owe you the money? Like you don't even have to pay me back, but like just mention the fact that there is a balance out there. You know what I mean? Like if I loan you money, just mention that it exists. I don't even need the money back. I just like the idea that you acknowledge the fact that there's checks and balances in some way, somehow we're kind of keeping score a little bit. I don't need the money back, but it depends on how your cousin behaves. But let me find out that your cousin posts a brand new Gucci belt that he got on Instagram. It's only a matter of time. I know you follow your cousin on Instagram. It's only a matter of time until you see him with like a Louis Vuitton hat and you're going to be like, wait a second. I just loaned him $200 and now he got a $500 baseball cap on that he bought from a luxury goods store.
Don't mix.
We got time for only one more voicemail. What do you got?
What up, though? Jalen, Jacoby. This is Brandon from Kansas City. I got a question for you. So I am unfortunately breaking up my power couple and going back into the single world. And I decided at the beginning of this year I was going to grow my hair out. And now I've gotten it to about 4 or 5 inches and decided that I want to donate it to kids with cancer. Now, I've had a couple ladies that I've talked to that say I should cut my hair even after I tell them that I'm going to be donating it for kids with cancer. Now, I look a little bit more like Jalen than Jacoby, and it's kind of getting long, and I don't mind it. I like the way it looks, but should I cut it, or should I continue to grow it out so that I can get to the 10 inches that I need it to be to donate it? Keep giving people what they want, keep getting the checks. Thank you.
I'll
sit back and listen.
Hopefully
you guys have some good advice.
Oh, wow. That's a conundrum right there, Brandon. That's a conundrum. Now, I can never sit here and speak into a microphone and say, nah, you dating and you looking your best is more important than making kids with cancer happy, right? I could never say that, so I'm not going to advise you to not grow your hair out, but I understand that you are between a rock and a hard place here because you're newly single, and I know anybody in a relationship is always like, oh, what would it be like to be single? You know that. You're experiencing that. However, you're experiencing it with a whack haircut because if you're newly single, you need a fresh cut. You need to be in the gym. You need to be looking good, feeling good, clean shoes. So I'm going to say you should grow it out, and it is sort of a litmus test for any young lady that you're talking to that if she is against you growing it out for kids with cancer.
So I'm just trying to make sure I iron it, iron out the dynamics properly. Can you just repeat the last part, Jacoby?
Okay, he needs to grow out his hair 10 inches. And I don't know how the process works, but I imagine they create some sort of a wig for kids with cancer that have chemo that lose their hair so they can sort of feel confidence. I know a lot of people that have had cancer, and I know that losing your hair is it's something that is emotionally and psychologically impactful in a way that you don't really Absolutely. Understand unless you've been close to it. So I think that if a child has cancer and this young man, Brandon and Casey, donates his 10 inches of hair, that they can create some sort of a wig that's for that dope. Young child to wear.
That's dope.
So that's what he is doing. But he's also single, and he's not looking his best, and there are young ladies that he's talking to. They're like, yo, what's up with your head? You should get a cut.
Oh, this is easy. Okay, now I'm glad you sorted the forest for the trees. Thank you for that breakdown. Thank you for the call. We appreciate the support. You're doing the right thing by growing your hair out and donating it because that's on your heart. And usually when you follow it, great things happen. When you follow your heart, great things happen. And so whether your hair is 2 inches or 8 inches, being single, I'm going to tell you something else. That also shouldn't matter. That shouldn't matter. Because they meeting you for the first time. They ain't in no position to be trying to give you no makeover.
And also, like, if you got game, it doesn't matter what your hair looks like, what clothes you wear, how in shape or out of shape you are. Game is game. Game is game. Jalen, I've seen some of the most busted.
No, not true.
I've been saying some of the most busted, broke dudes do very, very well on the market. And it's just because there's a lot more to it than what you physically look like. And you know that's true.
I know it's a lot more to it than you physically look like. But let's not act like your appearance doesn't help your prospects.
I will not. I would never. I would say your appearance is before someone talks to you, before you open your mouth, they've already made a judgment on you.
Correct. And let's not act like your intellect and your job, business, and or career path doesn't have an impact. It does. It should both ways. Here's how I look at relationships. Merger. Not an acquisition. You want two conglomerates coming together and making each other catapult themselves into happiness in the future. When it's an acquisition, somebody's the ball and somebody's the chain, which means somebody always complaining about the other.
Great point. Jalen, before we go, I just want to give a big shout, birthday shout to Prentice Austin Frank, best friend in high school, husband of Emma Kay, father of Kiara, Tia, and Marcus. Big shout, my man. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
Make sure you vote. Arrest the cops.
And Hooper's vote. Rock the Vote has a Hooper's Vote thing. If you're a Hooper, make sure you check that out. Hooper's Vote. You can go there. And Jalen, I know you have one more thing.
That murdered Breonna Taylor. And make sure you vote. You do not have to wait till November 3rd.
Go to hoopersvote.org. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.